All right, hello, Tyler Bryden here. You know what? Last week I said you would catch me in a video not wearing these glasses. Literally the next day, I make a video not wearing these glasses. I'm trying to protect these puppies. So if you see me not wearing these glasses, call me out. Let me know. This is problematic, and I got some protection I got to do here. And so thank you again for anyone who tunes in and watches this. I got a little bit of a story that's popping up here, which is continuation of a story from 2019, which is about web scraping. And is web scraping legal or is it illegal? And there was a challenge from LinkedIn. I believe that people were scraping profiles from LinkedIn, and basically what happened was went to court, and it was sort of a moment that data that is public available and not copyrighted is fair game for web crawlers. And then this was reaffirmed this week. So a couple weeks ago, LinkedIn has lost another legal battle. Scraping public data from LinkedIn is legal. So I feel like LinkedIn is a little bit upset right now. But the main piece here is that web scraping is legal. There was a reaffirmation of it, and you know, people are saying that this is a win for things like archivists and researchers and journalists. I see this as a win also for developers, for marketers, for private companies who are scraping this information and generating insights. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but there are very problematic cases of web scraping. We've seen one of them, which was Clearview AI, which went, I believe, got like the pictures of Facebook profiles all across the world, and then police forces and military institutions were using it, and I believe there were, you know, crimes that people's faces were detected in it that came from that data. Some of it was right, but a lot of it was wrong. And so there are definitely challenges to this idea of web scraping and then the application for it. But again, there is a little bit of more authority that this is something legal. And I think you know, just with the stories buzzing around, that this is going to be continue to be a drive for companies to increase their web scraping abilities. And there are open source libraries and tools, Beautiful Soup, and lots of different ways that you can actually scrape information online. And then, you know, there are a lot of this information is extremely valuable to, again, not just private companies, but political parties, to nonprofit institutions. And so I think that we're not going to see this go away. And I want to touch on something which is a big trend that I'm continuing to see, which is how can you take large libraries of publicly available information and then distill that down into insights. And I've just pulled up, two examples, one of them being the most classic, which is Google Trends. And I mean, they are really, they have access to the world's information, and they're giving us that world's information. So they sort of have the right to mine that information and then give us things that are insightful about it. And so generally we obviously see things like Google Trends and real-time trends and what's being searched at this moment. And that's a one way to sort of synthesize all this information, all this data that's flowing through this system, and to distill it down to a way that is actionable and usable. And I think this will be a drive that continues to take place. And I'm seeing this now, what I would see this is actually applied in more of a content curation fashion. So another way that this has been done, great, I love following this this company, Exploding Topics, and also showing, sort of looking at specifically searches per month and then the growth in those. So if you're interested in a specific category, you can go back. I don't know if it's going to let me do this because there we go. You go back 1 month and see what is there something trending up? Is there something trending down? And their engine is finding these searches, quantifying these searches, and then giving you this insight so you could distill and take it away. And overall, just what I'm seeing here is that this is a really important actual service to, I would say, the public, which is what I've seen applied in several spaces now. And one of the companies that I've had the pleasure to work with, an amazing company, Kinetech, that is a personalized nutrition research firm. And so they are trying to sort of capture all the information related to personalized nutrition, distill that down into newsletters, distill that down into insights, distill that down into reports that then can be available for the general public, but then is also available to the companies that they're working with. So a company can go to them and say, hey, we're looking at exploring You know, we're looking at exploring a product development for something to aid with the keto diet. How do we best go about this? How can we figure out what the differentiators are? Is this even a worthwhile endeavor? And that's one of the things that then you need to have these tools of web scraping. So can you look at data sources that are available? And a couple ones that stick to mind for me are App Store reviews, which we've done in the past. There are reviews on websites like G2 and things like that. And then you've got other kinds of sources. You've got articles, you've got forums, you've got social media. You've got, like, you can grab every Twitter with the hashtag related to a specific subject. And now all of a sudden you need to be able to take all that information, structure it, and put it in a way that then you can query, you can navigate through, and you can derive insights from. And if you do that in the right way and then you curate content, you are helping people sort of navigate through their own journey of self-learning and discovery. And this is something, you know, I'm very passionate about, and it's something that I struggled with and built even some of the journey around Speak AI, because I just felt that there was this overwhelming amount of information being generated at all times. And again, there are challenges here with web scraping, and I think any of us have this sort of fear that why am I being scraped? What am I being scraped for? Where is this going? What database is this going to end up? Who's going to see this? Who's going to use this? What is the purpose of this? And, you know, I empathize with that, and I've had that experience myself. And I think anyone over the last few years who even posts anything online, you have these concerns of, like, what are the consequences of this? And when consequences are unknown, it can sometimes be a scary thing. So overall, this is an interesting reaffirmation. I've done lots of web scraping in my own life, more on a hobby basis, but also now being applied professionally because of some of the data sources that people are looking for, research papers, podcasts, hooking to an RSS feed, all these different things. Overall, I think that the process of distilling insights from information is a really good one, but also relatively abstract and difficult. And I really don't try to come on here and actually promote Speak AI, to be honest. This is more of a content piece. What I'm just interested in is exploring a way that we've done this. And I apologize if there are any swear words on this, but I wanted to show a little bit of this, and it's still not perfect. Like, this is such a rudimentary version of what we're actually trying to accomplish, but we've at least had some success with it. And what you're seeing here, and just, this isn't even necessarily promoting Speak, but just a walkthrough of how, at least a web scraping and then application of this could be possible. And maybe this helps reveal some insights for you too. And so this is, we have many different names for this, but shareable media library, a research repository. What we've done is take in all the office hours videos that we've done as a team on YouTube, scrape those, and then dump them into basically a folder within Speak, which then is generating this library. And what's happening here is that because we are running natural language processing, first of all, we're transcribing audio and video, and we can do audio, video, and text within the system, but in this case, it's video, but audio is part of that. So you transcribe that, and then you're putting a layer of natural language processing over that. And with natural language processing, what's happening, there's this idea of named entity recognition. So you have these default categories, which is trying to group things in automatically. And if I go here, I can see brands, and I can hit apply filter, and in a second, sorry, it's querying through a lot of information, it will then load all the brands that are there and display it both in a word cloud, but then like a bar chart, something a little bit more practical as well too. And then I can see, okay, wow, interesting, Google has been mentioned a lot. And I can then jump and I can see it will load all the instances of Google that had been mentioned across the office hours. I can go there and then I can say, oh, it's a negative keyword list in Google Ads, and then I can jump to that exact moment and it will play back. So, I mean, a really powerful tool from a display, a navigation element. What we're finding, or I think what is challenging here, and this is where some of the underlying problems lie with the abstractness of web scrape data, is that what might be valuable to you might not be valuable to someone else. And also, depending on where you're positioning this or where you're focusing on or the value you're trying to create, this could be too much raw data. This could be too general purpose. And so those are some of the challenges that we're seeing. Even it's great, you can filter by specific media type, all the different sort of categories that you're interested in. Of course, there's like ways to build more custom categories that are specifically focused on like the use case that you're looking for. But overall, there's a little bit more work to do here, and it's great. Again, I can see brands, I can see, you know, I can see geopolitical, I can see all the locations that are mentioned, but the entity is just one layer of this. You need to be able to go deeper to actually extract the value. And in some cases, this might be enough. It might be enough to just visualize, oh, wow, out of all these conversations, Toronto has been said the most. Or then you've got a least one. And it's like, okay, this is interesting. Why did this pop up? When did this pop up? And now I can see when this exact moment kind of appeared. But again, speaks to a challenge of once you get all this information, you scrape all this data, and honestly, data scraping alone is complex and pages are built different and there's different functions and some pages are protected. Once you get all that and you can pull that into a database or you can pull this into something that is queryable, then how do you display insights? And this is a challenge that we're trying to figure out. I think a lot of people with this reaffirmation, with articles floating around about web scraping, are going to continue to take this on and try to do this process. What I'm really interested in is how can we go from sort of this raw, unprocessed information and almost like an oil refinery, that's a tough comparison in the climate that we're in today, but how can you distill that down to clean oil, or clean as it can be, I guess. And these are the fun pieces that I'm sort of following, the threads that I'm following through. And maybe this ruling went a little bit different and it said, hey, this is completely illegal. There's no data scraping, no publicly available data sets are available to you. And all of a sudden there are business models that are affected, because this isn't just something that I'm interested in, but many, many companies are scraping information or at least monitoring information at all times. And so, continue to sort of follow this story. LinkedIn has said this is a preliminary ruling, and that they're going to still go at it. LinkedIn's got they're continuing to push on, and this is obviously a topic as we talk about the ethics of technology, of AI, what should be available, what shouldn't. This will be a conversation that continues. I'm excited to continue on it with you, because this is something that's fascinating to me and obviously impacts the world that we're living in every day. So thank you so much for checking this out. Hopefully I got something interesting out of this. I'll drop a couple links in the video. And if there's anything else that, you know, if there's anything that you think would be interesting to hear my weird brain reflect on or go through, please let me know. I'd appreciate that very much. Basically, every day I wake up, they say, you know, what am I interested in here today? Sometimes that inspiration comes from within. Sometimes that inspiration comes from an article that I've read the previous day. Sometimes it comes from a Twitter thread that I read in the morning, even though I'm trying not to read Twitter threads in the morning. So thank you again. I've gone on too long. I appreciate this very much. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.